Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector. Every Wednesday, Mark, along with his special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark is a tested, certified, and professional spiritual medium, metaphysical teacher, healer, and spiritual advisor with a spiritual practice based in Seattle, Washington. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
All right. Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in this beautiful planet of ours. This is Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, coming to you live from Seattle, Washington. This is Inspired Living Radio. I hope that you're staying well and you're staying safe during these unprecedented times. We have a great show for you in store today. We're going to be talking all about the afterlife with our guest and spiritual author, and she's done a lot of things in her life that we're going to be talking about. Just want to say thank you for being an inspired listener, listening in all around the globe. We had some technical difficulties here at the beginning, so I'm calling in on my phone line today. And I just want to start off the show with a quote, if I could, from Emily Dickinson. And it talks about, she talked about that it will never come again is what makes life so sweet. But the question is, does life come again? We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the afterlife. And do we come back? Is there reincarnation? What is the death process? All of those interesting things when it comes to the topic of answers from the afterlife. If you have a question later in the show, we'll open up the phone lines and you can call us at 202-570-7057. If you want to learn more about what I do, you can go to marklanehart.com or just internet search the Intuitive Prospector. And let's just, for the sake of time, let's get right into today's show and welcome our guest in if we could. We're going to just strap on our seatbelt and prepare for a truly cosmic journey, Answers from the Afterlife, which is the fourth in a series of books in which Nancy documents everything she can remember from her three visits to the afterlife after dying temporarily. It is a question and an answer format type of book. I had a lot of fun reading it, a lot of questions I have myself. This book answers your questions regarding near-death experience, which we would call NDEs, innate nature, creation, souls, the purpose of life, mating and love, evil behavior, religious beliefs, the death process, suicide, ghosts, after-death communications, or what I like to call ADCs, and the afterlife in its stages, reincarnation, hell, and more. Welcome to Inspired Living Radio, Nancy.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. And you've had quite a journey, or what I like to say, a soul adventure. And I apologize for the technical difficulties of connecting there. It just shows me that spirit is wanting to be a big part of the show today, is how I look at it. Anytime we're working with energy and frequency and vibration. So tell just a little bit about yourself and to our global inspired listeners all around the planet, because you've done a lot. You are a retired lawyer, you're a spiritual author, you are a pilot, you're a private investigator. I mean, what other things have you done in life that has brought a lot of value on how to live your life and the richness of Carpe Diem?
I've spent a lot of time working for nonprofit organizations. One of my many loves was a national organization that builds affordable housing for families, for seniors, and healthcare communities for those residents of those communities to go to. So it was, you know, a thrilling experience for me. And I've been on a cancer clinic board, and I was on a Gestalt Institute board of directors. And so I've met many, many wonderful people on the National Kidney Foundation. So those are my loves outside of work and flying.
And you're a cancer survivor yourself, correct?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you've run the whole gamut, as we like to say, from, birth to death and everything in between. And you've gone over there three times. You've come back to talk about the near-death experience. Now, this book, Answers from the Afterlife, is your fourth book, correct? Because there's a series of books. I just want to read them here. Backwards, Returning to Our Source for Answers. And then you have Backwards, the Guidebook. And then you also have Create a New Reality, and backwards beliefs, revealing eternal truths hidden in religion. So a lot of different topics to talk about today, and this hour goes by so quick. So I just want to jump right into our Q&A, if we could, because I know our inspired listeners have had a lot of input and a lot of interest in today's show, because when you talk about the afterlife, people are very curious, very mindful to know what happens after we die. You know, what happens when we incarnate in the physical form, and then what happens when we decarnate into the spiritual form. So real quick, Nancy, we have Nancy's information posted on the Facebook page and our Twitter page and our Instagram page. If you want to follow any of those pages, just look for Inspired Living Radio on Facebook, and under Instagram and Twitter, you can look for Inspired For Us. If you don't catch this live broadcast right now with Nancy, you can always catch us on many different platforms, from iTunes, SoundCloud, Podbean, YouTube, iTunes, Om Times Radio Archives, and of course, you can go to marklanehart.com, which is your one-stop shop for anything spiritual. So you started off in the world of law, working for a law firm. And how does one, I already know the answer because I kind of took the similar journey, but how does one go from law and the study of law and working in a law firm to writing spiritual books?
I did it I don't know if you call it the easy way or the hard way, but I died. Literally. And that totally changed everything about my life. It changed all my beliefs. It changed my career path. And I was given a mission to tell anyone who would listen what I learned and experienced in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that, I like to call it the shakening causes the awakening, if you will. I was on a very similar path. I was a first responder, worked several years in the Coast Guard, and then as a firefighter, EMT, and I've had two near-death experiences myself. But I had a lot of trauma and tragedy kind of triggered that awareness, triggered that, you know, that curiosity, or what I call myself today, the intuitive prospector, to really start prospecting for answers of, you know, is there life after death? Can I talk with my brothers that are on the other side that had left tragically very young and very quick? And, you know, that started my journey of exploring and discovering through mind, body, and spirit. And I'm just curious, because you've beat cancer, you've come back from an NDE. What was the actual catalyst that actually had you transition to the other side? And just explain what that process was and what it felt like, and what did you see, what did you feel, what did you know, what did you hear?
The first time I died as a result of a combination of anaphylactic shock and mm-hmm. low blood sugar. I was in a radiology mammogram room having a wire stuck into my breast, trying to get the center of three tumors that had been diagnosed by mammogram, and the combination of the factors of the, you know, the shock and the low blood pressure killed me. And the process was kind of weird and interesting, but I was, you know, sitting in a chair with this wire sticking out of my breast, sweating profusely, nauseated. My heart was beating like I thought I was going to jump out of my chest. I was scared to death that I was going to have cancer. And then my eyesight started going. And then my hearing started going. And then I started sinking down into my body. And I went whoosh out through the belly and ended up standing in front of my former human body. And I went through a very short, dark space and then into the light. And I spent a lot of time by myself in the light, learning things. You know, information was just dropping into my mind faster than I could even identify the topics. I did a physical inventory to try to figure, I was trying to diagnose, you know, what had happened.
Sure.
I never lost consciousness, not one moment. And then the second and the third times, well, the second time I guess I was just called home. Nothing physical happened that I know of. I just ended up back in the afterlife before the Council of Spiritual Beings that were monitoring my mission. Because at the end of my first NDE, I assumed a mission of telling people, you know, what had happened. Excuse me. And then the third one was precipitated by very low blood sodium. And I ended up in hospital for 3 days. And that one, again, was a meeting with my counsel that were keeping tabs on you know, what I was supposed to be doing. That was kind of a long answer to your short question.
No, I think I like the explanation, because it's, you know, when I had my first NDE, I was 5 years old, and then at the age of 27, I had my second near-death experience. And when I talk to people that have had NDEs and they talk about the spiritual world, or what, you know, what some would describe as heaven, a lot of us that have had that don't describe, you know, we describe the tunnel or the white light, but a lot of people don't describe the pearly gates, or, you know, St. Peter sitting there, you know, checking us in from a religious standpoint. It, for me, when I had that experience, it was just a peace and a calmness that I just had never experienced before. Now, my near-death experience was very quick, because it was in a river accident when I was 27, and I was pinned underwater. And, you know, for some divine reason, there was no way that I was going to get out of it. A really good swimmer. Was nicknamed Fish growing up, because I always just resonated with water. I was like a fish to water, or fish out of water, however you wanted to look at that. And I just had a conversation with myself. This is ironic. This is how I'm going to transition. And, you know, for some reason, the powers that be said, nope, we got more work for you to do. And I popped up. But just that brief experience of just, you know, coming to an acceptance and awareness and surrender to that peace is something that I can see why people go into the light and don't come back, because it was very calling to me. It was very peaceful. You know, it's kind of like, it reminds me of the quote from Robin Williams, where he talks about death is nature's way of saying your table is ready. And I felt like there was a table ready for one. And it's very interesting. But everything that I've been taught from a religious standpoint, from a Catholicism standpoint, did not happen during my NDE. And I find that with a lot of people, they talk about the white light, but there's this reflection, there's this kind of what you were describing, this thought process. And what's interesting to me, you said you felt this whoosh go out your stomach, which is the same area that connects you in the umbilical cord. And we'd say it's a very psychic area of being, because that's what connects you to your mother in when you're breathing liquid. And then all of a sudden you pop out and you are breathing air. And then when you leave, so that whoosh out your stomach is interesting to me. I've never heard somebody describe it.
Thank you for telling me that. I never had an explanation for that.
Yeah, it's a connection of life, right? Because it's, you know, that's where you're connected to the physical world to incarnate. And I've never heard somebody describe that whoosh feeling of going out through their stomach, but that actually makes a lot of sense to me, because it is the connection point of life. So anything else that you, during this time of your three times, anything else that really stands out in your mind for our listeners? That
everything. As I said, I was alone in the light trying to diagnose what happened to me, but then, and getting knowledge into my mind. But then later I, you know, saw my body from the afterlife down, sitting down in the radiology room. And that's when I said, nah, I couldn't have died. You know, I heard you always go into a light before you, you know, enter into the afterlife. And I was in a tunnel that I had manufactured by thought. And I did three mental experiments where I literally manifested into physical reality what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. After those three experiments, I finally started thinking, oh, my body died. And once I realized that, I saw five lights in the distance, and they turned out to be my five most beloved eternal friends, none of whom I'd ever known in human life. I had a life review, and during my life review, I got back all the memories from hundreds or thousands of physical lives I'd lived all over the universe. I went through a transformation process from thinking that I'm human to knowing that I'm a being of light. Yeah. I got answers to all my metaphysical questions. And I watched a documentary type history of human religious development, including the future of Earth. I merged my energy with my five light being friends and relived all their physical lives through them and as myself. And then I started merging through layers of source's energy field, kind of like, you know, going through a corona of the sun. And the closer I got to the core entity of source, the more I understood. And I watched all of creation of the universe. I remembered it. I remembered doing it when I was source, before I was separated out into the soul that came into Nancy's body. I totally understood everything that was going on, everything that I'd learned previously in the afterlife. And I kept saying to myself, really, somebody ought to tell those people. Yeah, somebody ought to tell those people. And what I meant was tell them all the stuff I just learned, because like you, I was a Catholic And there wasn't anything in this experience that was anything like what the Catholic Church had taught me. And next thing I know, I'm on my way back into the body, trying desperately hard to memorize as much as I could about what I'd learned. All the while, my five light being friends were saying, love is all that truly matters. Love is all that matters. And I'm saying, shut up. I'm trying to memorize this stuff. So what I brought back were just little tiny bits and pieces, but it was enough to fill five books.
Yeah. And I love that you talk about love, because I do a lot of, you know, professionally as a psychic and as a medium, I do a lot of readings. And I always remind people, the one out of the thousands of readings I've done over the years, the one consistent thing that always connects our world to the unseen etheric world, whatever your belief system is the power of love. It is that love of another, love for our planet, love for animals, love for thyself. And you talked about that in the beginning of the book. I was actually, when I started reading the book, and thank you for the copy, I appreciate it. You start out right from chapter one, you know, getting answers in the afterlife. You say, traditionally, we consult religions for answers to our questions about life, death, and the afterlife. And I'm along that same channel, because when I was going through the tragedies and traumas of my losing my brothers, I consulted religion, and it really had no answers for me. And that's when I really started to look at the, you know, years later of spiritualism and following more of the message versus the messengers that religion tends to have. And so that, you know, that opening chapter really resonated with me, you know, and then to become a channel or a psychic medium is not anything in a million years that I thought I'd ever do, to be honest with you, Nancy. But yet here I am, and I'm running a fifth season of Inspired Living Radio talking about this and many different topics, from death and dying to the afterlife to metaphysics. Now, it's interesting, because you talked about you met five beings that you didn't know on the human experience, but you knew that you connected with them, and you talked about different either dimensions or planets. Let's talk about that real quick before we go to our first break here in just a few minutes, because I think that's interesting, because we think in terms of, you know, two dimension. Some people think in three dimension, but when we start getting into the fifth dimensional of energy and frequency and vibrations and universe and different planets, it kind of reminds me of what, you know, J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter series, talked about, that well-organized mind, and death is just the next great adventure. And that's how I look at death now. Death is a part of life, and it's another soul adventure that we go on to learn and grow.
An exciting one, right?
And an exciting one, not anything to be feared of. I think for many of the listeners out there, we may question, like, how am I going to die? I don't want to suffer. I don't want to have this, you know, extraordinary, excruciating transfer. But at the same time, I always go back, you know, when you come into the planet and you incarnate, you don't have memory of your birth as far as right now in the physical being. And I think death is a lot of that as well. I've talked with people over the years that have talked about people have a near-death awareness before maybe they're chronically ill. They have a chronic illness and they're, you know, terminal, and they start to have awareness of the spirit world. And I've heard of, you know, some of my guests have talked about even leaving the physical body before, let's say, a traumatic train accident or a car accident or an airplane accident, leaving the body before the actual pain actually hits the body. So it's very interesting to me, and then very intelligent, obviously. There's something definitely more intelligent and loving than you and I are capable of, for sure.
Yes, and I learned in the afterlife, just like you said, that we have the option of getting out of body while it's dying. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go through the pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that very comforting. And I just, my death was... Yeah, my death was, I mean, should have been terrifying, but it was so interesting. I mean, I just couldn't get over how fascinating it was. And I remembered it. See, that's a gift. I remembered it after each mm-hmm. thing happened. I went, oh, yeah, I remember doing that before.
Mm-hmm.
And so you carry those memories.
Yeah, and we call that soul amnesia. A lot of times we've had guests in previous shows where we've talked about that, either deja vu or that soul amnesia, because you resonate with certain memories or you resonate with certain people or certain experiences, but your free will and choice is to help you make decisions right now. You can't go back and remember, otherwise you might not make the same choice or decision that you need to make in this life. So it's a very fascinating concept when people have deja vu or, you know, that connection, but they can't really quite put their finger on it. So I've always been fascinated with soul amnesia and, deja vus. People even in hypnotherapy have recalled a lot of similarities. There's a couple books out there The Journey of the Soul is a book that I first had read when I started my spiritual journey, and it was a skeptic and doubter of life after death that, you know, was a hypnotherapist and had over 10 years had researched. Michael Newton is his name. He's the author of that book.
Yeah, I've read this book.
And he had so Journey of the Soul, and he had done research on people over the years, and he found that the story of people that didn't connect or didn't even know each other were telling the same things. And he would get specific and ask them a question about, you know, what is the afterlife? And, you know, there are certain things that could not be answered or should not be answered. So I guess when we go to our first break, we'll come back, because there's so many chapters, Nancy, I want to talk about. It's so hard to cram all within this hour of our show. But when we come back, we'll get into more of the chapters and talk about that subject. So you're listening to Inspired Living Radio. Just remember, as Ralph Waldo Emerson talked about, it's not the length of life, but the depth of life. We'll be back here in 2 minutes on Inspired Living Radio.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inspired Living Radio. Today's guest is Nancy Dannison, talking about her book, one of four books in her series, and we're talking about Answers from the Afterlife. Whole bunch of information. If you want to learn more about the work Nancy is doing, you can go to her website at nancydannison.com. You can also go to backwardsbooks.com. You can also go to Inspired Living Radio Facebook page, where we have all the links and all the information for today's show. And again, if you catch the podcast over on the other platforms, make sure to check out this book. It's very fascinating. It's a Q&A formatted type of book, where there's questions and answers to what Nancy went through. So welcome back, Nancy, and let's pick up right where we left off.
Cool. And one of the things I learned that I thought you might be interested in is déjà vu. I learned in the afterlife that what déjà vu is when you in human life recognize an event that you saw as a preview to incarnating into the body you're into now. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting, because some of my deja vus have to do with planes. Unfortunately, plane crashes, being on a plane that's going down. Hopefully, that's not my future. But anytime I have that vision or that similarity where I feel similar, like I've seen this before, I'm standing on a beach and I'm watching this plane go down. I usually do something out of the ordinary, like do a circle or clap my hands real loud. It's an interesting thing. You know, here's this guy on this beach doing circles and clapping his hands, and people are going, "What is that guy doing?" And yeah, that's a great explanation for deja vu. And I've heard it a couple different ways. So thank you for sharing that. All right. So one of the chapters I want to get to in the book is reincarnation. Now, there's a lot of different chapters in this book. There's 21 plus chapters, your near-death experiences. You talk about hell. You talk about reincarnation. You talk about evolution. I think what we're going through right now in history, on these unprecedented times we find ourselves, is a form of transformation and evolution. But one of the things I found interesting in what we've been talking about based on deja vu is reincarnation, because almost every single religion around the world has some sort of context or points to a form of reincarnation. And so I just wanted to do, for our inspired listeners, talk about, you know, that life preview that you experienced selecting the human body and the purpose of reincarnation, if we could.
Well, I was in the afterlife. I saw just I didn't go into the afterlife at the same point where most near-death experiencers do. Most of them go in to the stage of afterlife from which we reincarnate. I was finished with all that. I was given to understand that this was my time to die, that I had volunteered to come into human life at this point in time as a special mission. So I didn't see that much of reincarnation, but what I saw was one event in my memory where I selected a body, and that's where I saw that, you know, you get to preview bits and pieces of the life that you might be living. They're not locked in, but, you know, they're potential events. And then when you actually get into that life and those events happen and you recognize them, you go, "Oh, that's deja vu." But it's because you as the soul inside the body remember it.
Right.
The purpose of reincarnation is because Source has created each of us souls. The bodies are manifestations. They're physical matter. They're only real to the physical matter world. But inside each body is a part of Source's own self-awareness and consciousness. And Source puts itself inside physical matter, creatures and things and, you know, rocks and trees and sky and stars and everything for the purpose of finding out what it's like. You know, what's it like to be a human? What's it like to be a rock? What's it like to be a frog or a tree or a planet or this or that? Just to have the what it feels like, you know, because Source is all-knowing. But knowing something intellectually and experiencing it and the emotions that go along with it, it's a completely different experience. And so we choose, each of us chooses a theme or something unique to the species that we're incarnating into. So like when we're in humans, we might pick something that's unique to human life, and we want to study it from all different angles. And the only way to do that is to reincarnate over and over and over into humans so that we can see that theme or that aspect of human life over and over and over.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I define life as. I break life down as an acronym, Nancy. And for me, it's learn it from experience. And when we come to this physical plane, whether it's in a man or a woman or a dog or a cat or a rock, like you said, it's about those experiences, which in my opinion helps with, you know, education, evolution, wisdom, enlightenment, and getting to those stages because you've experienced all of those things in different formats. And, you know, when people come to me for either a reading or they ask me, you know, what's my opinion about, you know, Source or consciousness, I always go back to nature because for me, nature is our greatest teacher, our greatest healer. And I always say, you know, we're on a planet covered by water, on a round planet. So there really is no up or down metaphysically. You know, people, I was taught heaven was up and hell was down, but we're on a round planet, so it doesn't work. But when you apply it to the concept of consciousness or connection, we live on a planet that's about 70% water. And when that water evaporates up into the clouds capture it, goes over a mountain, it starts raining or snowing, and eventually that snow turns back to water, runs to the river, and all rivers return back to the ocean. So it's this different formats, whether it's, you know, ice or rain or water, liquid, steam. There's different formats, but in the end, it's all source, and you have different experiences. And for me, that's what reincarnation has kind of always been, is coming here to experience different ways of being, so you can hopefully get that point of enlightenment. I think that's what we're all trying to get to. So thank you for that. The other one I wanted to talk about was religious beliefs, because, you know, you talked about consciousness after death, because some, you know, some people that, you know, I've had on the show, and some people come for me for consultations, don't believe in an afterlife. They believe that once you die, you go into the dirt and that's it. You know, you have your agnostics that want proof. You have your believers like you and I that have joined the fraternity or sorority of near-death experiences. And then you have the atheists that don't have any belief of anything. And in your chapter for religious beliefs, I find that everything that I thought was going to happen in my NDE did not happen the way that I was taught or told about. And so in the book, you talk about consciousness after death. I just wanted to kind of go into more detail, if we could, about that, because it's very interesting.
Well, there's only one consciousness, source. And so that's the highlight of the afterlife, and also part of human life, is knowing and experiencing and living and loving the fact that there's one entity, one source, one spiritual energy. And that's what I got to know in an intimate fashion while I was in the afterlife the first time, was source. Mm-hmm. And I learned that, you know, nothing, as I said before, nothing that I experienced in the afterlife was anything like what I've been taught in Catholic schools.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's, yeah. I think that's why I was shown this like documentary history of Earth, because what I was looking for was, how did religions develop? How did they, you know, change and develop over time, over the, you know, right, the thousands of years of human history? And of course, you know, while I was watching the development of religion, I saw what was happening to the planet and, you know, what was going to happen to it in the future.
Right, right. Yeah, for our inspired listeners out there, I always just kind of remind them that, you know, because a lot of it's based on where you are raised in the world too, right? You could be on the other side of the planet and have a completely different religious concept, or somebody, you know, a prophet, or, you know, whether it's Muhammad or Gandhi or Jesus or Krishna, I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, I always say that religion is like one record, and there's just different versions on that record or CD. I guess I'm kind of aging myself here saying record, but it's like having a CD, and the CD is consciousness. And on that track, there are 12, you know, different tracks based on where you're raised in the world. And, but it's still all that same CD, that consciousness, whether you call it heaven, whether you, you know, you believe in one person over another person. And so, yeah, I'm in agreement with you. When I became a spiritualist, I really started to look at source of consciousness and life after death with really no religious context to it. But you also talk about that unconditional love, because some of the listeners out there may be asking, well, what about suicide? What about, you know, like, for, you know, my brother was murdered. What about people that commit murder? What happens to us when we die, or when we decarnate out of the physical form? What are some of the consequences to suicide or to murder? And you talk a little bit about that in the book.
What happens is we wake up. That's it. That's the whole story. When your body, your human body dies, you get out of it and you wake up to the same eternal spiritual part of source that you have always been and will always be. You get back all of your memories from previous lifetimes and from eternal living, and you just continue on as a part of source until you're ready to wake up to the knowledge that you are source. And that's what happens when you're finished with your incarnation cycle, and you decide yourself, you know, when you're going to stop incarnating. It's completely a person's choice. And suicides are a natural part of physical life. When we incarnate into humans, we know that the body's going to die, and we know that there's going to be some event that causes that death. And so we kind of pre-plan what that might be. And you know, what we plan for may never come to pass. But one thing we can always be sure of, no one dies before their time. That's why we have so many near-death experiences. They get, you know, souls get into the afterlife and they find out, oh, it's not their time. And so they're sent back to the body. And so, you know, I've had 5 NDEs altogether, 3 of them where I went into the afterlife and 2 where I was just wandering around a hospital. But, you know, when we have completed our goals, when we have completed our mission, when we've completed what we came here to do, we can leave. And so people who commit suicide have just, they're a success. They've completed their mission. Maybe it's early. Little tiny children, little infants that die early, they've completed their goals. They're success stories. And there's no consequence whatsoever in the afterlife from having committed suicide or from being murdered or from any other cause of death. It's just part of the life cycle. And Source does not judge, not at all, not ever, not any part of our lives.
Yeah, and as a spiritualist, we look at that as well as that eternal progress that's open to every human soul. You know, whether you've committed suicide or murder, or you know, somebody like Hitler, somebody that's had great atrocities in life, it's that eternal progress to. And I like your answer, just you awake. It's kind of like, you know, for our listeners out there, it might be a version of the Matrix. You kind of wake up, you know, you get unplugged from the Matrix. That's your reality of consciousness. Or, you know, some would even say that when we go to sleep, that's when we are awake. And when we wake up, that this is the dream. So it's a very interesting concept. But I agree with you. I like that answer, that it's just like you simply wake up from your experiences. And I think some of us would question, like, why did we come back? Why did we have this soul contract? Or why did we want to incarnate and do this all over again and learn the experiences? But I really appreciate that very authentic answer. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay. Just more great topics to get in. What's your favorite chapter in this book, if I could ask?
I don't know. It's been a few years since I wrote it. I don't even remember what's in it. But I know that my favorite concept or my favorite piece of information from the afterlife is that our Creator did not shove us out into a cruel world with no way to help ourselves. We are not victims. Obviously, our bodies can be. But we souls inside these bodies, we are not victims. Each one of us souls has the exact same power to create a physical world for ourselves using the same spiritual power that Source did to create the universe. It's called manifesting. And we can be prompted to remember that we have this spiritual power and how to use it consciously to create a happier, more peaceful human life. And that's what my 5th book is about. It's called Create a New Reality. But I think the most important takeaway is we are powerful spiritual parts of Source inside these bodies. And we can use those powers for ourselves and for the world at large. And I would love to see your listeners join with me and my readers and my listeners and try to manifest a more peaceful, more loving, healthier physical environment here on Earth.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'll definitely join that crusade because it's definitely, I believe in the power of manifesting, visualization, something I learned about in my graduate studies with sports medicine and what athletes look at as far as manifesting to be their best version of themselves in whatever sport they play. And, you know, I agree with you, you know, using these spiritual powers, if you will, to, you know, not only be the better version of yourself day after day, but how you contribute and how you interact with the external world, how you make other people better, how you make the planet better, You know, part of why I even started Inspired Living Radio almost five seasons ago now was to have that manifestation and that ripple effect, to have people like yourself come on the show and share your story and have that ripple effect go out, whether it's energy, whether it's vibration, whether it's frequency. Because a lot of us, I think, forget that we're a spiritual being, an energetic spiritual being first, that incarnates into the physical form. And therefore, you know, we get locked in this body and that kind of that soul amnesia, or we forget and we get, you know, lost in our thoughts when we have so much more greater opportunities and experiences and healing and love to bring to others and our planet, for sure.
And something else I learned in the afterlife that, you know, you slot right into is, and that is, you know, when I was watching the history of religion and, you know, all of Earth and its, you know, eventual future, I was shown that Source has sent a million messengers. None of them were kings or princes or gurus or religious leaders or, you know, famous people at all. They were people like you and me, good-hearted people who've had spiritual experiences, who are bringing a little morsel of truth to the rest of us who are incarnated into human life. And
yeah, and
one of those people was Gene Roddenberry. I was so thrilled to see that.
Yeah, he was definitely a seer. He was known to be a seer in a lot of science fiction. For our listeners out there, Gene Roddenberry is the creator of Star Trek, and he wrote a lot of science fiction back in the late 50s, early 60s. But what we see today, a lot of that science fiction has turned into science fact. And after his passing, his wife actually talked about how he was a seer. He could see into the reality of a future. So that means that he was either a channeler or sensitive or just a very great insight for what is happening. But I agree with you, Nancy. I feel a lot of us that have had a lot of different experiences, or what I call soul adventures, are the spokespeople to bring this message forward from you know, consciousness, the source, the spirit world, whatever words that we want to use to identify that. But I also find that, you know, for me in my own journey, I find that religion is for those that fear that hell-based energy that you talk about in the book. But spiritualism and what we do is more, we've pretty much already gone through it. We've already walked through that. And therefore, we find the carpe diem, we find in living the best versions of our lives. And that's why I think you've gone out and done so much in life as well. You know, from a pilot to a lawyer to an author to all the different things that you've done, is because you know what it's like to live and you know what it's like to die.
Yes. And once you've died, there's really not much more to be afraid of.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm thinking of the Bob Dylan quote where he talks about, he who is not busy being born is busy dying. And so for all of our listeners out there, it's kind of like that famous quote from the Shawshank Redemption, get busy living or get busy dying. There's a lot to be done in a day, and, you know, seize the day, that carpe diem energy, because you never know when your journey is up. And there is an afterlife, and that means a new adventure, but it's not going to be, you know, what you expect it to be, is what I always tell people. So expectations usually leads us to self-disappointment. So it was a fun book to read. Again, if you want to learn more about the work, now you said you have listeners too, so you have a radio show as well, or you have podcasts?
No, I do a lot of radio shows like yours.
Do it. Okay. Just bouncing around the radio shows on the airwaves, and again, manifesting and sending that ripple effect out. But if you want to learn more about Nancy Dannison, you can go to her site. And again, if you go to our Facebook page, it's now open to the public, and you can join the, I don't know, we're about 1,700 people now around the globe. I remember starting with two people on Facebook. And you can visit her site. I put both links to both backwardsbooks.com and nancydannison.com. And again, if you want to get this book, it's one of four books in her series. What's your latest book? What was your latest book that you, we might have to bring you back and talk about that. We're going to run out of time here.
Create a New Reality, Move Beyond Law of Attraction Theory.
There it is. Okay. The Law of Attraction Theory.
Well, Move Beyond the Law of Attraction Theory.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually told in the afterlife, in that early part where I was getting all these downloads of information, that humans had been given an erroneous message about manifesting, and that my job was to correct that. And I didn't even know what they were talking about at the time, because I'd never heard of the Law of Attraction.
Yeah, yeah. So like attracts like, or actually one of the quotes that I use a lot in my spiritual practice is from George Lucas, because you were talking about Star Trek with Gene Roddenberry, and I'm a huge Star Wars fan because I was raised with Star Wars, and George Lucas talked about how your focus determines your reality, and a focus is a sense of manifestation, what you manifest, what you want, and the power of manifesting. So that's just, again, you can go to Nancy's website. You can get all of her books. Her latest book is Create a New Reality. But today we wanted to talk about answers from the afterlife. And I don't think we had anybody call in for any questions. So no worries. I think I forgot to throw the phone number out there again. I get so lost in the topic that, you know, I just don't actually have, you know, we have callers, but at the same time, I forget to give the number out. It's like, here we are at the end of the show. Just for, you know, being your first time on Inspired Living Radio, Nancy, what inspires you now that you've gone to the afterlife a few times and you've become quite connected to what is unseen? What are the things, or who are the people or the topics that inspire you that you'd maybe want to share out with our listeners?
What inspires me are the little things, the little kindnesses, the little courtesies. You know, when I watch the news and I see somebody, you know, bringing a dinner to somebody who's shut in, or when I see, like I saw on the news this morning, a chorus, you know, a choir in college that were singing in a parking garage. They were standing 6 feet apart, and they all had masks on, and they were singing through their masks. It's making me cry now to see the wonderful, loving, beautiful things that people can create together and for one another, and doing it at a time and place in history when it's so difficult because of the pandemic to do these things. And so I'm inspired by the love that I see in the little things.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And I agree with you. I think that what we're going through right now, I've talked about this at the beginning of 2020, because it's going to be our roaring 20s. I talked about from a numerology standpoint that this year was going to be a year of great master building and transformation. But in order to build something new, you have to tear down things of old. And I talked about when this is all said and done and people are listening to this podcast, I talked about the great coming together, because I found that, you know, with great chaos, there usually is a following of, you know, it's like having a big storm, but the rainbows come after the storm. And I see us moving into a more acceptance and seeing more of those small types of acts that you just shared with us to be in service, to help others, to treat everyone with equality, and not treat somebody differently based on how they look or who they, you know, worship or who they love. And I think that the great coming together is going to be a big part of that. And as well with our technology and how we can connect to the afterlife, what is unseen. Like I'm talking to you through the airwaves right now through my iPhone. You know, something that Nikola Tesla talked about in 1865, a little black box where people could connect all around the world, and people thought he was a warlock. And here we are. So I can only imagine what the afterlife connection is going to look like from a technology standpoint 100 years from now, you know. And it's exciting. And that golden rule that you just talked about, paying it forward and treating others as you like to be treated, is a big part of the work that I do. And it's those small acts of inspiration. So we like to say you are the inspired and the inspiration, and Nancy, you are the inspired and the inspiration today on today's show for Inspired Living Radio. So any other information that you want to share before we cut to the end of the show?
You are a huge inspiration for me, Mark. I've enjoyed this conversation much. I've learned from you. I think you have so much to give the world. I'm just thrilled that you're doing it.
Oh, thank you. I'm very honored. And again, the reason I do this show is to connect with amazing, inspiring people like yourself that are doing, you know, great healing work out there and educating and bringing that ripple effect to others. And so I appreciate that. I love doing radio. I love learning new topics and hearing about new things that are coming. And again, answers from the afterlife. Our guest today, Nancy Dannison, and you can go to her website, you can go to our Facebook page and click on those links. It's nancydannison.com, backwardsbooks.com. I'd love to have you back on the show later in the year or 2021 so we can talk about this moving beyond the law of attraction theory. I think that's very interesting. I think our inspired listeners would get a lot out of that as well. So thank you, Nancy, for coming on and just sharing your wisdom and your experiences and your journey to the afterlife to come back and tell us that message. Because that takes courage, too, right? Because the work we do comes with judgment and opinion. You know, I would say some people call me crazy. Other people call me for spiritual advice. So it takes courage to do what we do, to be able to publish, to be able to say this, to be on a show like this, like Inspired Living Radio, and put that out there, because you're always going to be up against judgment, skeptics, pundits, people with opinions, people with cynicism. But at the same time, finding your authentic path and your authentic voice is, standing up and saying what you believe, but doing it in a way that can be kind, caring, compassionate. I feel that's what we've kind of lost in this day and age. But we can bring it back as light workers. We can bring it back as inspirers and people that, you know, believe and have experienced the afterlife in a world that is unseen. It's very much just a thought away. And it's been a pleasure talking with you today on Inspired Living Radio.
Thank you so much.
I just want to say, you know, be safe out there on these very unprecedented historical times that we face. And I'm just going to leave you with a quote from Lao Tzu, where he talks about, a man with outward courage dares to die. A man with inner courage dares to live. Until our next soul adventure together, be kind, be caring, be compassionate, and most importantly, dare to dream, dare to explore, dare to live. We'll see you next time here on Inspired Living Radio. Take care, everybody. Namaste.